Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Bitcoin Banter. I have Rick and Tony here with me. Gentlemen, lots of exciting news and some fun topics to bat around. We're going to start with one that I think is top of mind for a lot of people right now. So Google released sort of so it's Willow chip, it's quantum computing chip. They, people are freaking out that is quantum computing going to be the end of Bitcoin? Is it going to crack the encryption? One thing I'm going to scroll down here and note a comment in this thread. I'd encourage everyone to go check it out. It's Ole Lehman. But he said that it's a 105 qubit processor. Theoretically, a quantum computer with a 13 million plus qubit processor could break elliptic curve cryptography, access any wallet, all of that stuff. And the keyword here he mentions is theoretically. So I think the long story short, from my perspective, is quantum computing is it's almost like a buzzword. It's kind of like what blockchain was back in the day. Maybe it is this future renaissance of computing. But at the moment, we seem a long, long, long ways off from it materially breaking many things. But it's something worth addressing. Tony, you're the technician here, so let's start with you. What do you think about all of this?
This reminds me of, when they invented electricity and everybody, used that word thinking that, anybody who touched it is going to get like electrocuted, get all fried up. Quantum computing, people are having the same reaction to this, that it's the end of the world now that they've invented this thing and it's going to take over the world. And, that's it. It's game over. Bitcoin's going to crash. They're going to steal everybody's money. And it's finished. Well, if that's what you believe, go ahead, sell your coins, let the rest of us take that risk. But it's been debunked many times. It's no risk. I mean, this guy perfectly lays it out, in the simplest terms possible. The Willow chip has the 105 qubits. If you wanted to break the encryption of Bitcoin, maybe, and like that's what he stresses, the theoretically, it's a maybe 13 million qubits might do the trick. It's not even sure at that point. But the thing is, the Bitcoin community is already aware of this and is already at work developing whatever is required to harden Bitcoin and to make it, a lot more resistant to this, way ahead of time before we even have a threat to Bitcoin because of something this powerful. So I'm not really concerned about this. I mean, where the attention should be really is about people stacking their Bitcoin in self-custody rather than worrying about ghosts and mythical creatures that are going to come out of nowhere and destroy the world's most decentralized and hardened money. So long story short, no quantum resistance. Yeah, it's a cool topic to talk about, definitely a conversation starter. But is it a threat to Bitcoin? No, it's not a threat, not in the immediate future anyhow, not for a long, long while. And again, by then the solutions in place to completely, nullify this topic would have already been implemented.
Yeah. Rick, you've got a more vibrant background than you usually have on your video. You look like you're feeling good. Why don't you tell us what you think?
Yeah, well, it's because I got kicked out of the UK finally, right? Apparently, Keir Starmer had been reading some of my tweets and they just immediately kicked me out. So I'm traveling at the moment. But yeah, quantum computing. I mean, look, I don't know anything about quantum computing, right? Straight up. But what I can tell you is that I've seen the quantum computing FUD more than once, right? In the past 10 years in Bitcoin, it's like if you stick around for a while, you notice a lot of the FUD around Bitcoin gets recycled. So it kind of builds up and then after a few years, it dies down and then it resurfaces again. And yeah, I remember hearing about quantum computing coming to break Bitcoin 4 or 5 years ago, right? So it just seems like it's resurfacing again. I mean, look, I'm sure quantum computing has moved forward and this new Willow chip is maybe something we haven't seen before. But like Tony says, just from reading about it a little bit, it seems like it's a long, long way off being able to impact Bitcoin in any particular way. But what I think is quite interesting is everybody's hyper focused on whether quantum computing will break Bitcoin's encryption. But for me, that's a weird angle to come at this from, because if quantum computing can break Bitcoin's encryption, it could also break everything else, right? So you're talking about, like, I don't know, all the military networks, you know, the communication keys for nuclear submarines, airlines, you know, everything. I genuinely think maybe Bitcoin would be the least of your worries in that sort of circumstance. And I think the main thing is, like, clearly quantum computing hasn't broken Bitcoin yet, has it? Because a lot of coins would have started moving around very quickly had that been the case. So, you know, nothing's broken right now. And like Tony says, I think there's people out there that are always going to find another ridiculous reason not to buy Bitcoin for whatever it is, right? And this is a real edge case, kind of, you know, theoretical threat that we don't even know will come to pass. And it doesn't change the fact that, well, where are you going to store your wealth at the moment? You're going to store it in dollars? I mean, you know, I mean, the banking system, if quantum computing can break Bitcoin, it can definitely break into all the banking systems. So I don't really understand the argument that this has anything specifically to do with Bitcoin and not everything else. And also, you know, technology is funny, isn't it? It's always an arms race with technology, right? So, you know, maybe quantum computing gives attackers a way to break encryption, and that's interesting. But, you know, surely this technology is available to the people who want to create secure systems as well. And potentially, you know, we can get new algorithms that are even harder to break. So, you know, technology is not just going to evolve on one side and Bitcoin's going to stand still. You know, Bitcoin can evolve and we can update, you know, the encryption algorithms used. So, like, you know, nobody really knows the future. One thing, though, that was really fascinating, because I thought I'll do a bit of digging on this, because, you know, I'm sure we've spoken about this before. And I came across an old video by Andreas Antonopoulos, who most people know. I mean, he probably orange pilled the first million people into Bitcoin, right? Really, really fantastic educator. And he answers this question. He said, what's really interesting is, let's say quantum computing can break the current Bitcoin encryption. Well, the chances are that everybody will just update their encryption, right? And everything will be fine. But what was really interesting is he says, you know that quantum computing exists when you see Satoshi's coins move. Because if those keys have been lost by Satoshi and he can't update the encryption on his wallet, then maybe old wallets, you know, old coins start moving around eventually. But again, it's all theoretical, right? And maybe that's in 50 years' time, someone can go and dig out Satoshi's old coins or something because he wasn't able to update because he's no longer around. I tell you what, that's going to be a crazy day on Bitcoin Twitter. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? But yeah, who knows? Who knows? I really don't think it's anything worth worrying about. It's just some new fad. You'll hear a lot about it for a few weeks and then it'll disappear. And you can wait another 4 years and it'll pop up again.
We can count on that. Tony, I think you made a, you know, I guess the thing that maybe has been unmentioned here is the incentives at play. If we're decades out from quantum computing being capable of, you know, an attack on Bitcoin, the odds are that we're operating on something pretty close to a Bitcoin standard at that point. And so what are the incentives for people who are earning in Bitcoin, spending Bitcoin, saving in Bitcoin to break the network, right? I mean, what are you going to do? Break Bitcoin that's saved humanity from many of its ailments, so that way we can have fiat dollars again? Is that someone's plan? I mean, maybe, but I just wonder if the incentives will be misaligned at that point in time, by the time this actually comes to pass, if it does. So maybe, maybe not. There's always evil people, but
Jerome Powell would do it.
He would do it right now, but in 50 years, yeah, if the next Jerome Powell's paycheck is in Bitcoin, is he going to do it then? I mean, you know, by that point, there won't be a Jerome Powell, and then we will have won. So,
well, by then it'll probably be, you know, instituted in law that anyone attempting to disrupt the Bitcoin network would be committing, you know, a serious crime. There would be like severe repercussions to this. But like with anything, there's always going to be someone who's going to want to try something, right? Like there's always that oddball that just they just want to disrupt something because they can, or just to prove a point. So will there be attempts to do this? Of course there will be. It's just human nature. You know, some people are just assholes that just want to, you know, cause chaos for the sake of causing it. There's nothing you can do about this. What you can do is just be prepared for anything and everything by, you know, staying on top of your game and making sure that, you know, everything pertaining to the Bitcoin network continues to be ossified and secured and updated and tweaked, you know, as required.
Well said. Alrighty. Jimmy Song dropped this bomb. He says, feels like the cycle where we get gold bug capitulation. This isn't news. This is just an observation that one person made, but I think is worth us chatting about. I'm having a really hard time imagining Peter Schiff capitulating. I think Peter Schiff is just going to die poor because he never capitulated and he just dug his heels in. I wonder though, if more gold bugs are going to come around. I'm curious, Rick, you can kick this one off. What do you think?
Yeah. I mean, you'd expect so. I mean, everybody is going to capitulate eventually. That's the way Bitcoin works, right? Like in the fullness of time, everybody will have. So I guess what we're debating is like who comes next. And I suppose this question always comes up because, you know, almost logically, you might expect gold bugs to capitulate and get interested in Bitcoin before other people, largely because like some of the principles that attracted them to gold in the first place would be the same principles that would attract you to something like Bitcoin, right? Hard money, you know, it's not as easy to debase as the dollar and all that sort of thing. I think that's the thesis that most gold bugs follow. So they're only really, you know, one small step away from really understanding Bitcoin. But, you know, if I've learned anything, you know, in my lifetime, it's that one of the interesting things about human beings is they're typically resistant to change. Right? People just don't like change, or the majority of people don't like change. So, you know, the fact that it's digital, the fact that they maybe feel a bit uncomfortable around it or feel that they don't understand it, I think the biggest thing holding them back is that, you know, you can pick up a piece of gold, right? So that tangible nature of it, you know, rightly or wrongly makes it feel very real for them. And, you know, the chances are gold bugs as well are likely to be a little bit older than maybe the average Bitcoiner who's probably, you know, millennials are probably, or late, you know, early Gen X and millennials are probably where most of the Bitcoiners are sort of distributed. Whereas I think the gold bug ages are slightly older, you know, alongside sort of Peter Schiff type age. So there's a barrier there, I think, in terms of making that jump in terms of the technology, and maybe it's fear more than anything that puts them off. But yeah, I wonder how much news will come out that will sway their opinion. I mean, we've just seen we've just seen Bitcoin overtake silver's market cap. And I would expect the same is going to happen with gold sooner or later, right? You know, gold's market cap is about 17 trillion. So that's only like an 8 or 9x away for Bitcoin to achieve that. I mean, that sounds like a lot, right? 8 or 9x. But, you know, if you've been holding Bitcoin since $200 or whatever, a 9x to overtake gold sounds like nothing. We're practically there already. And hey, I don't know. I don't know what to make of it. I mean, one person that definitely gets it is Nayib Bukele, right? Because I think just last week we found out that he's discovered a $3 trillion stash of gold, you know, somewhere in his country, right? And I think he came out immediately said, yeah, we're going to mine it, and then we're going to sell it, and we're going to buy Bitcoin with it, right? So how many times, well, first of all, how often do you have to see the supply of gold increase to maybe as a gold bug think, well, hang on, that doesn't happen with Bitcoin. And then when you see a nation state saying, yeah, we don't really want gold anymore. I mean, obviously El Salvador's small and it's an early mover and all this sort of stuff, but that is signal. That's something that you can tune into and say, well, hang on, a whole nation state is saying they're not that interested in the gold. If that doesn't stop and make you think and maybe reassess your thesis, I really think it should. But like you say, I mean, Michael, until Peter Schiff capitulates, I don't think we can say that the gold bugs are here officially, right? But yeah. I'm pretty sure he'll be the last. I mean, look, for me, you know, gold is going to lose its monetary premium. That is what Bitcoin is going to do to gold. And it's, you know, Bitcoiners give gold bugs a hard time. And no one's sitting here saying gold will be worthless because it does have value, right? It's useful in electronics, makes some pretty nice jewelry. But all this value that it holds due to its monetary premium at the moment, where people are trying to hide from inflation, that like real estate, that will disappear eventually. So, I mean, look, I'd rather hold gold than dollars, but I'd rather hold Bitcoin over everything else.
Yeah, and I don't think like I don't think this would be optimal, but I wouldn't be surprised if gold serves as like a transition into Bitcoin, because nation states do have it already. They're comfortable with it. It's been around for thousands of years. Like as we kind of migrate, it like makes that transition smoother. Like you allocate a little bit to Bitcoin and then a little bit more, and then it grows and eventually all your gold's gone. But that could be over a longer time horizon for, you know, for slower movers. So my observations, I think it makes a lot of sense that gold bugs would be the next to capitulate, because they're already philosophically pretty well aligned with Bitcoiners. I also see a cohort of, I think the last people to capitulate on proper Bitcoin are like financial advisors, but I think they're going to be some of the next to capitulate on paper Bitcoin. So like the ETF products, MicroStrategy, proxies, things like that. Just because it's going to be undeniable and you're going to lose clients if you're continually underperforming some guy's neighbor who just bought Bitcoin or just bought the Bitcoin ETFs even, right? Like maybe they don't even get Bitcoin, but hey, like this guy bought the BlackRock ETF and he's up 30% on the year and I'm up 12. Like what gives? They got to figure that out. Tony, what do you think about the gold bugs though?
Yeah, man. I mean, there's a lot, like you said, Rick, most of these gold bugs are people of a certain generation. You know, they're mostly like older folks that have only known gold their entire life. They're comfortable with it. They're holding, you know, a whole bunch of it. And that's where their net worth sits. So guys like Peter Schiff hearing the US government, you know, potentially having plans to sell their gold, that's enough to give them a stroke. Because, you know, if all his net worth is sitting in gold, that just like wipes you out, you know, in one kill shot. And eventually it's still because Bitcoin is new. Lots of people don't understand it. I mean, to this day, despite all the buzz and all the hype and everything that's going on, 95% of the global population is completely oblivious to Bitcoin or understands nothing about it. But as you know, time goes by and, you know, more people pay attention to it. And especially as some of these more prominent names, so to speak, you know, start making big moves in Bitcoin and replacing traditional assets like gold, people are like sheep. So if, you know, people see like the big players dumping their gold, even if they understand or don't understand Bitcoin, they're just going to copy it because they're like, oh shit, if they're doing it, I better do this as well. Otherwise, something bad's going to happen. It doesn't have to be that sophisticated. It's just, you know, what are they doing? The masses are doing this. Let me do the same thing. So it's just follow the crowd type of thing. And eventually, you know, everybody will understand Bitcoin. And just like Pac-Man, it's going to eat up everything along its way to the number one spot.
Yeah, I would add too, I sympathize with gold bugs because, you know, it'd suck if in the 1960s, you're a computer scientist working on a digital communications network and you think this is going to be the future. And then the internet as we know it comes along and your project and everything you've been harping on for 10, 20 years or something just vanishes into nothingness. I understand that it's a huge shot to your ego. Like you got to really swallow your pride and accept that something else outran you, right? And that's what gold bugs have been rightly doing for a long time, right? Like they've been pounding the drum of sound money for 30, 40, 50 years. And all of a sudden, it's like we've just taken their thunder with this Bitcoin thing. And I think some of them don't understand it. Some of them, like Peter Schiff, probably do and just cannot get over that mental hurdle of what I've been fighting for is no longer the best option. And I need to go along with these millennials and, you know, do what they're saying. So, yeah, we'll see. But it's certainly going to be a wild ride. All righty, let's move on to. Speaking of Bitcoin, is like Pac-Man, Tony. So Bitcoin topped the. So I'm trying to remember where we left off. I think it had passed. So it passed silver a few weeks ago. The Canadian dollar, maybe the Taiwanese dollar. I think this next bump over the Australian dollar is the most recent that we haven't talked about. So gold is now the 18th largest asset class in the world. If you want to view it as an asset class, I don't personally, but it's a way of thinking about it. Tony, what do you think? Well, I don't even know what question to ask because we kind of riff on this sometimes, you know, but I'm curious, gold's number one. When do you think we get there? Do you think that's this cycle? Do you think that's in the future?
But what do you mean gold is number one?
Gold is the most valued asset class in the world. I believe. I think it's real estate.
Real estate is currently the most valued one.
So real estate, government debt, the stock market at large, but in terms of individual assets, I think gold's number one. And then where's that list?
Yeah, well, Bitcoin's the black hole that's just going to suck in absolutely everything. It just needs more people to understand it and, you know, genuinely grasp that this isn't going away. No, mm-hmm. not anymore. This is real. And the characteristics, you know, that make up Bitcoin, you know, we've never seen it before. And that's what essentially gives it value. You know, the scarcity, the fact that no one can control it, no one can manipulate it. Nobody can do anything with it other than use it. You can't corrupt it. You can't, you know, hijack it. You can't do anything with it. That's money. It's a store of value and a medium of exchange that nobody can prevent someone else from using it. You know, eventually, when that clicks, you know, in 8 billion people, why would you park your money anywhere else? It just wouldn't make any logical or mathematical sense, you know, at that point in time. And this is why I think that slowly but surely, all of that worthless fiat toilet paper, one by one, are going to go down that list as, you know, Bitcoin gobbles it up all the way to the top. Real estate is the biggest one so far because, you know, a lot of high net worth individuals are just, you know, just buy real estate to park their money because they don't know where else to put it. You know, if they leave it in the bank, it's going to get debased. So they go out and they buy all this high end properties that they don't need, they don't care about, they don't use. They just park their money in there. And so what does that do? Well, that prices out the guy who actually needs the house because now it's like worth, you know, 200 times more than what it should be. And the rich guy doesn't even want it. You understand? Like, all these problems are because of broken incentives, broken money, fiat money. All of this stuff gets fixed with sound money like Bitcoin. And eventually, that's going to click and resonate with the world. And it's starting to happen at a faster pace. I don't know if you noticed this, but a lot more people are picking up on this whole Bitcoin thing, you know, properly. Every week, you know, the news is a lot more bullish, which makes me very, you know, excited about, you know, the future that I envision seems to be coming closer, you know, sooner than what I thought it was initially. And that boom, I see it happening in, I'd say, less than 5 years, maybe even as soon as next year, you know. You can congratulate politicians if you want. I don't like any of them. I don't care what they promise you. Yes, maybe they help accelerate things, you know, in the right direction. But ultimately, none of them matter. None of them are relevant. This is going to happen regardless. But if we can get someone to trigger that, you know, that acceptance sooner, then congratulations to everyone that's paying attention.
Yeah. Rick, what do you think?
Yeah, again, it's interesting, isn't it? It's all about perspective. I mean, you know, what's quite funny to me is it's now number 18. And anybody who's looking at this, if they think it's not going to number one, I'm kind of thinking like, where are you guys, right? I remember when you could buy a Bitcoin for less than a pair of trainers, right? And now we're talking about Bitcoin's market cap overtaking silver, right? So I mean that's in 10 years, by the way, right? So I mean it's gonna overtake these assets, I think, relatively quickly. And real estate's the really interesting one. I mean, Tony explained it really well there, which is just like I mentioned earlier, that gold has this monetary premium. So, you know, it's the same thing with real estate, right? People want to hide their money, they can't sit in cash, so what do? Buy up a load of real estate and push those prices up. So not only does Bitcoin overtake real estate, but the real estate bubble will eventually burst as well, you know. So real estate will come down as Bitcoin goes up, you understand? So it's not just a case of real estate will stand still and Bitcoin will overtake it. Bitcoin will actually eat into real estate. So that's what I think is going to make it probably move faster than people realize, right? Because as soon as that monetary premium starts to ebb away, like Tony says, all these rich people are going to think, hang on, I don't need to park my money in real estate anymore. I've got a better option, which is actually, I think really great news for the population at large, right? I mean, the truth is that, you know, most millennials and I mean, Gen Z, they've got absolutely no hope of owning a home, right? You know, like let's say someone in Gen Z graduates from university, even with a decent job now, the idea that they're going to own a home outright in their lifetime is it just seems like a pipe dream to most people, right? So overall, I think that will be a really good thing. So yeah, just a matter of time. And look, there's nothing wrong with owning a home. Everybody needs somewhere to live. Like a house has value, just like a gold has value, right? But I think instead of housing being an investable asset, what you'll see is it returns to its true form, which is actually it's not an asset, it's a liability, because you have to pay maintenance costs, you have to look after it and all that sort of stuff, right? Whereas holding Bitcoin doesn't come with any costs like that. So yeah, it's just a matter of time. I don't pay that much attention to charts like that, because I think, well, everything in real estate is overvalued anyway. I mean, you know, the fact that they're saying Bitcoin is just one step ahead of the Australian dollar is quite funny, because that's just worthless nonsense paper. Like it's a bit of a funny list anyway, right? But yeah, it marches on. And the biggest surprise to me is that we're 15 years into it. It's now at number 18 or whatever. And still everybody I might bump into in the street or try and talk to about Bitcoin thinks that I've lost my mind and that this is some sort of crazy internet Beanie Baby joke thing. You almost get to the point where you're like, God, I'm sick of explaining this at this point, right? Like I don't, if that can't convince you, if it overtaking silver can't convince you, then maybe I'm never going to convince you either. So yeah, interesting. But I I'm with Tony. I think we'll still be doing this podcast by the time that has reached number one.
Yeah. Last night, I got off a late night podcast recording with Tony, and my brother texted me. He had some friends over. He's like, hey man, can you come over and orange pill these guys? Like they're curious. And like, these guys are probably philosophically primed for Bitcoin. And I was like, no dude, too late. I gotta go to bed. It was like midnight. But I'm like, man, if like those people, we still have a huge cohort of people who are like ready for this, that just haven't been handed that orange pill yet, you know? And I think once they see the light, I mean, we've got another couple hundred million people who have never seen a chart like this. They don't understand that Bitcoin is, it's not just going up in price. It's growing in adoption. It's overtaking historically relevant assets. And we have a long ways to go. It's wild how early people say we're early, and it doesn't always feel like that, because six figure Bitcoin seems crazy, but it's so early. All righty. Last one. Satoshi Nakamoto, creator of Bitcoin, is now worth over $100 billion based on his estimated holdings of just under 1 million Bitcoin. So if he was alive, he'd be the 18th wealthiest person. Where is he sitting right now? So the Walton family, so Walmart, just below, wow, barely below Bill Gates at this point. Man, that will be a fun day when he overtakes whoever it was. Overtake Bill Gates. That's going to be a cause for celebration. Okay, my question I'm going to throw to you is, quantum computing aside, let's say that didn't exist and in 50 years it doesn't break, and you know, can't crack Satoshi's wallets, do you think that Satoshi Nakamoto's coins will ever move?
Look, anything is possible, you know, and given enough time and given enough determination, you know, if we put a man on the moon, you know, at some point somebody might figure out a way to move these coins. But by then, the question is, would it really matter? Probably not.
Yeah.
You know.
Do you think Satoshi's alive?
That's a very good question. I don't know. You know, on one hand, I hope, you know, he is and doing well and has, you know, the biggest smile on his face, because he genuinely is the, you know, the savior of humanity. And on the other hand, if he wasn't, it's a blessing, because now no one can touch him. No one can go after him. No one can destroy his legacy. That's it. It's cemented till the end of time. What he has accomplished, no one will ever forget. In fact, you know, future civilizations, you know, will be founded on this guy's work, or these, that group of people's work, if it was more than one. So yeah.
Rick, what did you think when you woke up to the news that Craig Wright's worth $100 billion?
Well, I mean, he needs to be, doesn't he? Because he's got lots of expensive court costs to pay. So thankfully, he can cover all this crazy stuff he gets into. But yeah, I mean, what I find interesting about this is like, he's number 18 on the list, or whatever, wherever
Satoshi,
he is on the
not Craig Wright, just to clarify for everyone,
Satoshi.
Satoshi.
No, Peter Todd, right?
Oh, Peter
Yeah.
Todd, right.
Or whomever claims to be it next. But yeah, I mean, what's quite funny about that is, well, two things. Number one, I think that Satoshi probably has a lot more Bitcoin than that, right? So think about that for a minute, right? So Satoshi Nakamoto, the guy who invented Bitcoin, who nobody has been able to unmask, who managed to create the most important piece of software in well, potentially ever, has managed to sail off into the sunset and nobody knows who he is. If you think that that man doesn't own some Bitcoin that you don't know about, I think you must be out of your mind, right? Like, of course, okay, so he has public wallets, right? This guy, I would almost certainly has other wallets. So I would imagine Satoshi's coins are moving around all the time whenever he feels like buying something, right? He just maybe isn't going to move those coins. So the fact that he hasn't moved the coins we know about for so long suggests to me that if he is alive, he probably doesn't have any intention to do so. I don't think Satoshi invented Bitcoin in order to get rich, even. It strikes me that this is the kind of person who's probably not that motivated by wealth. I mean, imagine you met Satoshi, right? The last thing I'd expect is to meet him and he's wearing some big Rolex and a nice big gold chain. And because a man of that level of intelligence, is probably not super attracted to shiny objects like, so many normies are, right? Like, oh, have you got the latest BMW or this or that? I would half expect Satoshi to show up in, some clapped out old banger and a tired old pair of flip-flops, right? Because this is what incredible people do. They don't waste their time on those things. So yeah, I don't think those Bitcoin are going to move. And Satoshi's probably already at number one on the list. And the other thing is, you see all those other people on the list. Well, if they don't own any Bitcoin, then my barber is wealthier than them because I pay him in Bitcoin, right? Because unless you're measuring in Bitcoin, the list is irrelevant, in my opinion, right? So that rich list, the real rich list, is very, very different. Those guys might be able to stay on the rich list, but only if they get a move on and start swapping their wealth into Bitcoin rather than where it is at the moment. So yeah, again, we're still measuring in dollars, right? Like, eventually the rich list will just be all Bitcoiners, and maybe we'll never know who the rich list is because no one knows who owns what. And wouldn't that be a great thing?
That'd be a beautiful day. And Rick, I'm sure your barber is missing out on his Bitcoin payments in the stretch of time that you're
He
waiting
is.
for hair regrowth.
That's it, man. Yeah.
All righty. Well, thank you guys. For everyone listening, really appreciate you taking time to join. As always, if you need help with Bitcoin and proper 100% self-custody, go to thebitcoinway.com/podcast. We would love to help you. Quantum computing is not risk to your Bitcoin right now. We would love to help you take it into proper self-custody. We help with online privacy phones. We did a great webinar with some partners of ours on Plan B residencies yesterday. Make sure you sign up for our newsletter list as well. Rick writes a hell of a newsletter that comes out every Sunday, and you also get invited to private webinars with some pretty cool people. We talk about some amazing things. Again, if you're interested in the services, though, go to thebitcoinway.com/podcast. We'd love to chat with you. Gentlemen, thanks for the time. We'll talk again in a few days.
Thank you, Michael.
Cheers, Michael.
Cheers, guys.